in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. I don't see my daughter, but I believe the youth are staying up. Where is my daughter? We all good? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. We got a lot of people traveling today, so the God A's are actually in New Mexico. Sent me a picture. I said, oh, it was 50 the other day. He sent me a picture of all this snow outside. I said, yeah, it was 20 here the other day. All right. So it might be cold, but it's not all that cold. All right, Matthew chapter 6. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. Let's talk and see what Jesus is going to tell us today about 2019. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Jump down to verse 31. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, and you don't want to be a pagan. Can I get a witness on that, Barn? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Lord, Lord, we take a breath as we get ready for 2019. Lord, we take a breath, look back at 2018. Lord, we take a breath and we look forward to a kingdom that's coming. Lord, we take a breath and we take a look at the kingdom we step on the edge of. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. Let it be done in me, Lord. Let it be done in us. Let it be done in City Heights, Lord. Let us come to know you in a mighty way. Let us find fullness in life. We give you praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, we had quite a night last night. I shared with you a couple of weeks back about JJ. There's JJ right there. I wake him up now and say, okay, superstar. But a couple of weeks back, I shared with you that JJ's team was getting beat bad, basketball team over at Liberty High School. And they were losing 20-6 in the first quarter. It was bad. And the coach called timeout and said, you know, you guys are getting beat, and it's not because they're so much better than you, but it's because you're not paying attention. You're not doing what I'm telling you. He says, let me coach you. And so the season went on. They played a few more games, and JJ found himself sitting on the bench more and more. And he was not happy, and there was time that was being split between him and his kid Jonah on his team, number 34, who's 6'4", 6'5". And they had a tournament this week, and they won the first two games, and they got thrashed on their third game, got beat by 30. And the last couple of games, Jonah was sitting on the bench, and he wasn't very happy. And I sent to the coach, I said, Gotta find a way to get both these boys in. He says, yeah, we've been working on that, but we can't find a way to get them to communicate and to move together. And it's a great struggle. I've been wanting to do that all year. And I said, well, I think JJ's sitting on the bench has opened his ears a little bit, and he might be receptive to some coaching. And they had a special practice yesterday at 12 o'clock. And he and this boy Jonah were the first two there, and they started working on a high-low offense and scheme. And they were working on it, and this other kid, a three-point shooter, number 25, he came in, and he started getting involved in the scheme, and they said, we're going to use this scheme. And they ended up we were up at halftime. At third quarter, they were down by like 12. And the fourth quarter, they came back and tied the game. Went to overtime. And it was, and the place was rocking. Played East Valley High School in El Cajon, and there was like 10 moms from their team, and they were a raucous bunch. And JJ ended up, his team ended up winning by 5 points in overtime. And it was the best game. Gail said, best game I've ever seen him play. And JJ comes out being a star, and Jonah, the other kid, comes out being a star. And their coach, was giddy. You see, JJ's team is a Division V team. And the team that they played last night was a top five team in Division IV. And so with this new scheme, this high-low scheme, the whole year takes on a whole new perspective. Coach is saying, you want to win, you got to listen to the coach. Amen? All right, we're talking about lightening the load. And I saw this picture, and this picture is on your bulletins, and this woman looks loaded down. Can I get a witness on that? And some of you come in this morning, and you feel like that woman. Anybody feel like that woman looks? Like, man, We're going to talk about lightening up our load in 2019. And you know how a lot of people do that is New Year's resolutions. Who makes New Year's resolutions? Come on, up high, up high. Wow, popular things, huh? Well, number one New Year's resolution is lose weight. Lose weight. I looked one up on GoSkills.com. And I don't know anything about GoSkills.com, but I was just looking up top 10 New Year's resolutions, right? Number one, right there, lose weight and get fit. Quit smoking, learn something new, eat healthier, all that kind of stuff. I said, well, I don't know who GoSkills is. Time Magazine. Okay, have you ever heard of Time Magazine? I don't know if they're making very many magazines anymore, but they got this, New Year's resolutions. Number one, lose weight, exercise, new skill, live life to the fullest. That sounds pretty good, amen? You know, what I noticed in both of these lists, top 10 lists of New Year's resolutions, Jesus is not on either one of them. So I did a search on top 10 list Christian, and I found equipping godly women. Now, I think that'll work for you too, man. Number one, read your Bible 20 minutes a day. Look at that. You want some help with that? We got some lists back there. They are purple. Take one of these with you. I got right here on the top. 20 minutes a day to change your life. It'll change your year. Amen? 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 Go to church every week without fail. Man, I'm going to find out who these women are. And my wife would say, come to church every week and be on time. Pray 15 minutes every day. Join a Bible study. We got those going on around here. Try fasting. That means not eating. Instead of eating, you put a focus on the Lord. And I'm telling you, you try fasting, it will be the hungriest you've ever been. Oh, I think I'm going to die. Help you pray. Ask a friend at church, begin volunteering. Start tithing. Oh, my. I'll tell you what. If you were in financial straits in 2018, you start tithing, and I'm telling you, your finances will be rearranged in 2019. God says, test me in this. You test me, I'll open the floodgates of heaven. You might say, I don't have enough money to tithe. You don't got enough money not to tithe. I'll tell you what, you can live on your own little pile of stuff, or you can give slice a tenth off. A tenth. He gave it to you anyway. He says, look at all I got. I want to get hooked up with God. All right, Tommy was talking about the old cattle on a thousand hills. Read a Christian book each month and memorize some scripture. Now, some of you are thinking, man, I come in here loaded down, and you're giving me all this stuff, and I just get loaded down more and more and more. It's not what I came to church to get loaded down today. Well, you're loaded down because you're doing stuff that you're not supposed to be doing. And you got to get rid of some stuff so that you can start sliding in the stuff that God wants you to do. Amen? See, you're going to live a kingdom life. You're going to have a kingdom year. You got to start making some kingdom choices. Now, these lists are nice and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to give you Pastor Bob's New Year's resolution. Just one. Obey God. When he talks, do it. Don't argue. Oh, God, tithing, really? I don't think so. Going to church, I think I just want to do my laundry. It's amazing. It is amazing how many people do their laundry instead of go to church. I got to do some laundry. It's like, what? And then it's like, look, you're unemployed, man. You're unemployed, and the only time you can do laundry is doing church? We got a priority issue. Can I get a witness on that? So we talk. I'm sorry. Let me get back on track. I am sorry. Obeying God. Because if you are doing stuff that you're not supposed to be doing, God's going to let you know. Sin is an easy one. You're sinning. God's going to say you need to stop it. Now, maybe you are loaded down because you're doing too much stuff. The people around you. My wife gets that way. And the Lord's going to say, back off. And what do? You obey God. Okay, God, I'm going to back off. Now, you might be sitting around not doing enough for the people around you. Amen? God's going to say, step up to the plate. And you start stepping. You're going to obey God. You might be doing too much stuff. You might getting weighed down, making choices, doing the stuff that you're not supposed to do. God's going to say, make some changes. Then the biggest issue is, are you going to listen? Because a lot of people say, I don't think so. You're going to line up with God in 2019, you're going to have to realize what weighed you down in 2018, and I guarantee you it's not what God was telling you to do. Can I get a witness on that from somebody? Amen. You're going to lighten up in 2019, figure out what weighed you down in 2018. God will let you know what weighed you down, because he wants you to have a winning year. He wants you to have a kingdom year. But if you're going to have a kingdom year, you're going to have to start making kingdom choices. Amen? Talking about a kingdom resolution today. And we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Because we're going to have to make choices for the future. Verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin. You know what vermin are? Vermin? Yeah, vermin. Anybody not know what vermin is? All right. We got a good vermin crowd here. All right, here we go. Moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there are no moths. There are no rats in heaven. Can I get a witness on that? God don't let them in. Where thieves, God's not letting thieves in either. I used to be a thief, but I'm a thief no more. Amen? Former thieves can get in, but former thieves don't steal. Where thieves don't break in and steal. Let me see where I'm at here. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And Jesus says where your heart is going to be tied right in to your treasure. And my question for you this morning is, where is your treasure? And you might be thinking, Pastor, I don't even got a treasure. I have to ask, what's most important to you? I have to ask, what do you do with your time? For many of us, our time is spent right here on this picture. Your job, your family, your car, your debt, your house, your addictions, finances, kids, and health. All your desire, your attention, be focused up, your will on those things. And the question I have for you this morning in 2018, was your effort, your desire, and your will focused on God? Or was it focused on me and mine? On you and yours? Because much of the weight that we are carrying around is from the maintenance of all of our treasure. We got vermin. We got rust. We got all that stuff coming after my treasure. I got to guard it. I hope you don't have a storeroom. What do you mean? Of course I got a store. What do you got in there? You got all your treasure in there. Trying to keep the rats out. Jesus is talking about a shift in your priorities. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And realistically, the way the Greek is worded there, it really doesn't sound like that. It says, stop storing up treasures on earth. Because we all got a little storage unit. Amen? You're going to have a kingdom year. 2019 going to be a kingdom year. You're going to have to start making kingdom choices. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So your eyes are going to set the course of your life. Your eyes set the course for 2019. It is like the lamp of the body. It is like the pathway. It is like the doorway. What comes in and what goes out and where are you going? And so this morning I'm wondering, how much light were you letting in 2018? And how much darkness was coming into your eyes and storing stuff up in your soul? You know, a great illustration of darkness coming into someone's life is pornography. Everybody knows what pornography is, right? It's all over the place. You know, studies show the craziest thing. This is a devil thing, actually. It's not crazy. It's a devil thing. That the more pornography that you watch, the less sexual activity you will have. Wait a minute. The more pornography that you watch, the lower your self-esteem. Well, I didn't know it was doing that to me. It's that darkness coming in. The more pornography that you watch, the less your ability to love. Darkness coming in. That's just an illustration. We got all kinds of darkness coming into our lives. Anger, lust, jealousy, bitterness, greed, lies, deceit, hatred, malice, and envy. That'll weigh you down. Can I get a witness on that? I'd be like an old man weighed down by all this stuff. And we're going to take a look at some of that stuff in the coming weeks as we talk about lightening our load. Because this will weigh you down, and it comes into your eyes by what you watch. Now, Jesus says that good eyes let good stuff into your life. And I'm wondering what good stuff that you are letting in. See, the Lord comes into us. You ask the Lord to come into your life. It's because you're living in darkness. Because you are completely dark inside. Amen? The Lord comes into us and he does some eye surgery. And he gives us a choice. He does that surgery. Now you can let some light in. You have some good eyes. But you still got a choice of what you are going to be looking at. Because you can have the choice to look at wholesome stuff, but you can still be looking at pornography. You can to have a choice to be content with what you have, but you can live in envy. You can have a choice of forgiving those who wrong you, but you can also live in malice. You can have a choice to be truthful and own your shortcomings, or you can live a lie. Can I get a witness on that? See, where are you looking? How much darkness is coming in and how much light is coming in? Because if you're going to have a kingdom year, you get to watch out what you're watching. You get to make some kingdom choices. Amen? Amen. Now, I have been having ear problems over the last year, year and a half. And in fact, I went to the doctor because I couldn't hear out of this ear, and he sent me to a specialist. I think it was last year, right at Christmas time. And he started injecting into my eardrum steroids. Who wants to sign up for that? Like, doesn't that just sound joyous? You know, actually, you can't even feel it because you don't got any, like, nerves or something in your eardrum. But I was able to hear. And I bring that up because you know, talking about bad eyes, bad ears. Well, my wife is not a fan, but I'm a fan of the Jack Reacher movies. And Tom Cruise is in them, right? And in the first Jack Reacher movie, Robert Duvall was in it. And he was this crotchety old Marine guy who had a rifle range. And if you notice in this picture, in his ear is a bullet. And he's using these bullets as earplugs. And when I study at home, I really need silence, and I don't know, I put 30 hours in this message, so I need a lot of silence, and I lost my earplugs, and I said, wow, I'll be like Robert Duvall, you know, I use this bullet, I had 45s, and I was studying the other day. Joe came back, and he said, whoa, Dad, let me get a picture of that, that is the coolest thing ever, you know. It's like, my dad's so manly, he's got bullets in his ear. And I noticed, you know, that my hearing issues are coming back and that I'm near deaf in this ear. And my ear was scratching the other day, and I was scratching it. And all of a sudden, I could hear. And I realized that as I was putting my 45 caliber earplugs in, I was pushing all the wax in my ear. It was smashing up against my eardrum, and it's had a bunch of wax. So now I can hear great. My daughter's going, oh, that's my dad. Here's the thing. If I want to hear good in 2019, I got to make some different choices on what I use for earplugs. Amen? Amen? If you want to have a kingdom year, and you didn't have a kingdom year last year, you got to make some kingdom choices. Amen? Amen? Amen. That make sense?
Yeah.
All right. You don't have to tell my wife about this. Thank you. She's out of town. All right. My wife is out of town to visit my mom. She'll probably look at this on tape. But anyway, choosing the right master. All right, let's keep reading. Here we go. Verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Jesus said you can only serve one. And he gives us two options here. God or money, and the question is, who are you going to worship? And for many in our culture, they worship money. The word here is mammon, and it means wealth, riches, property, or possessions, all that stuff that you would be storing up that the vermin would be attacking. And I have to ask you this morning, who's your master? And Jesus is really asking, who owns you? Is it him or is it stuff, your stuff? So I ask you the question, where do you spend your time? Well, I broke down a week. There are 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. That, do the math, it is 168 hours. If you sleep 8 hours a day, who sleeps 8 hours a day? Nice and high. Who sleeps nine? Who shoots for nine and never gets there? Yeah. Well, anyway, if you shoot for 8 hours, that is 56 hours a week. That is one third of your week spent asleep. Okay? Let's just say that you got a 40-hour-a-week job. Not just because that's a standard work week, okay? That comes out to 24%, a quarter. So you got a third of your time asleep, and you got a quarter of your time at work. And you add those up, and that comes out to 57% of your time, which leaves 43% of your time as discretionary. And so, you see, who owns you? Who is your master? What are you going to do with that 43%? Okay? So now, let's talk about some God stuff. Now, I don't want to weigh anybody down here, but if you come to church, and I said 2 hours on Sunday morning, but probably we'll be out of here in an hour and a half. But I called it 2 hours. Wednesday night, called it 2 hours, but it's really an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes. But if we call it 4 hours, 4 hours out of your week is 2%. Everybody say two. You got 2 pennies in your pocket. 2%. Now, the lady on the woman's 10 resolutions thing, she says, do Bible study 20 minutes a day. And we got this for you. You add that up, you do your 20 minutes a day, that'll come out to be, and I'm rounding this off, I don't want to freak anybody out by hard math, okay? 20 minutes a day, 2 hours a week, 1%. Anybody got 1 penny in their pocket? No. 1 penny isn't even worth carrying around. Amen? Amen, right? Pray 15 minutes a day. Another 1%. Add it all up. 4% of your week. Who's your master? What do you do with your time? You say, Pastor, I got to work. Well, yeah. God is a fan of work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. So God has no problem with your working, but realistically, we take a look at this figure and we see that you got 43% of your time, and often it is what you are going to make a choice of, your 4%, whether or not you're going to fit it into that 43. But it is amazing how the devil will just slide you a job. Pastor, I got a new job. Great. When are you working? Well, I work Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. Got any other hours? No, that's it. That's a devil job. Can I get a witness on that? Instead of going, wait a minute. That's when I work. Sunday morning, Wednesday night. That is a devil job. Don't let the devil throw you a job that's going to get you off track with he who's going to hook you up with a kingdom 2019. Amen? I heard a newscaster the other day saying that unemployment in San Diego is 3.5%. And he says, if you can stand and you can breathe, you can get a job in San Diego. And I told that somebody yesterday. I said, I can stand and breathe. I need a job. But that also means that God's got some jobs out there for you. And so many of us, we get a devil job and we get all wound up with our devil job and it's weighing us down, and we don't take any time to go find God's job. Amen? So who's your master? What do you do with your time? You know, I struggle with this because I don't want to throw that up there and weigh everybody down. But if you're going to have a kingdom year, you're going to have to make some kingdom choices. Amen? I mean, really, you look at it. I just got to do this. 20 minutes a day. 1% of your time. Wow. I don't have time. I just can't fit that in. Who's your master? All right, I'm sorry. I'm done with this now. We're moving on. All right, this is a chunk of scripture here. All right, here we go. Verses 25 to 32. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Are we okay? Yeah. Everybody freaking out about that list? The idea was not to guilt you out. But, all right, so we're just going to move on. All right, here we go. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. And I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, God's going to provide for his own. And Jesus says it really comes down to an issue of faith. So a big question this morning is, do you trust God enough to provide for you? And it's really a question of how lined up on God are you? Because some of us aren't all that lined up. And you look back at 2018, you say, whoa, what a train wreck of a year. I was working so hard, weighted down, and I didn't get anywhere. Issue of faith. It is also an issue of contentment. Can you be happy with what God provide you? Because so many of us, the devil will throw a little something your way. Hey, look at this. You go, oh, I need that. And he'll say, payment plan. And you'll be weighted down with debt from some little baubles that don't add up to nothing. Because the devil's saying, oh, you need this. Can you be content? Not everybody can. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, you might not have learned that, and the devil will use that to twist you around, but if you can grab onto the kingdom vision for you in 2019 and say, Lord, I am content with everything that you have for me, you're going to cut off the devil being able to throw stuff your way and get you off track. Amen? He says, man, you're living like pagans. Pagans be running after all this stuff. you're supposed to be different from them. Because they don't know your Father. But you know your Father. And your Father knows you. You want to have a kingdom year? You got to make some kingdom choices. Now, I want to share with you this morning the provision of God. The hot dog cart. And I show that up there. And William and Wendy and Dana are the hot dog crew. William roped me in on Fridays. I'm part of the Friday crew. And we got it we got it licensed last year about this time. And I've been waiting all year for Jeff, the inspector guy, to come back and inspect the cart. But after a couple of months, the hand wash system didn't work. And the burner wasn't getting the water hot. It would fail. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get this fixed. And did some work on it. It wasn't working. And so it was like 2 weeks ago. And I had an hour. I said, okay, let's pull this thing out. Let's take a look at it, William. And it wasn't working, and it was broken, and it was, we had two burners, and we just switched the gas lines from one to the other, and they both started working. Glory, hallelujah. It was a good day, right, William? Yeah, man, hallelujah. And it's working, and the next day, I mean, we've been running this thing since September. We've been having it since last January. The next day, this, like, Russian or Ukrainian lady walks in with this thick accent and says, I'm from the health inspection place, from the county. And my first statement was, where's Jeff? Jeff's in new construction now. Okay. And we backed that thing out and fired it up. It says, it's going to take a minute to get warm. Do you want to inspect the kitchen? Because it's due, too. And she goes, okay. And she walks through the kitchen for like 5 minutes. Is that right, ladies? And she says, I don't find one infraction, so I'm going to give you a perfect score. And so she gave a perfect score on the kitchen. And Yuseli said, man, it wasn't perfect. But we said, we'll take the perfect. And then she goes out to the cart. And she's got a thermometer thing, and William turns on the water. It's got to be 120 degrees. And she goes, there you go. And she signs them both off. And she's gone. And the next day, the burner broke again. Now, I tell you that, and we never use the hand wash just because we use gloves. But I tell you that because the devil send that inspector lady the day before we fixed it, and she'll come back the day after it's broke. But you make kingdom choices, and the Lord lines stuff up, makes provision for his own. Can I get a witness on that? I also want to tell you, it was at the second basketball game at the tournament. I was sitting with a guy who runs the same meal program at a church in El Cajon. And I told him, I said, hey, how you doing on your inspections? And he goes, oh, literally, he goes, oh, have you heard about all the changes that are coming in 2019? I don't know how we're going to pass. And I said, dude, we got a 5-minute inspection. We are good for 2019. See, you can trust God to make your provision. Big question is, can you be content with what he provides? Amen? Are we good? Yeah. Hallelujah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm preaching to me today. All right, our load is a function of our faith. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What? All that stuff that the pagans are chasing after. A brand new certification on your cart, a brand new certification on your kitchen. I don't know what else you need. Kingdom kids are kingdom focused. I say kingdom kids because there's two Ks. Sounds good. We're all children of the kingdom of God. Amen? So if you're a kingdom kid, If you are a kingdom kid, you're going to be focused on the kingdom of God and what he's got. He said, seek first. Word there is zeteo in Greek, means search, desire, require, and demand. I am demanding kingdom stuff. And so again, I throw up there this time chart. What do you demand in your life? What do you seek in your life? What is most important? Who is your master? Because if you're a kingdom kid, you're going to be kingdom focused. Amen? We on track?
Yeah.
All righty. Jesus says, don't spend your effort running after the kingdom. Spend your effort running after the kingdom, not after running after the world. See, don't let the world, all that weight, chip away on your 4%. You know, one of the Ten Commandments. Do I got that up there? No, I didn't put it up there. He says, you can spend all your time pursuing wealth or the world. Or you can spend your time focused on the kingdom. That list of 10 resolutions says start tithing, right? Come back here to our time management thing. And you look, and here it says we got 43%. 43% of your week is discretionary time. 4% comes out to be a tithe. Interesting how that works. He says, why don't you start tithing? I'll tell you what. I've been praying 30 minutes a day. I love it. I started doing this daily reading back in April. And I post them. It takes me about an hour. They squeeze out my exercise time, which I have to do for my diabetes. And if I don't get it done by 9 o'clock, all that done by 9 o'clock in the morning, the thing that misses out is my diabetes stuff. And so I started squeezing out my prayer. Squeezed it back in about October. Man, life is good. Squeeze it in. Get rid of something else. Get rid of something else. All right, I'm sorry. I'm off track here. He says, Jesus is telling to replace our temporal, our worldly efforts with eternal efforts. And he says, right up there with the kingdom, says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And righteousness is a good translation of that word, but it's also his righteousness, his justice. Seek first his kingdom and his justice. Seek first his kingdom and his approval. And I'm wondering how much in your day, in your week, in your month, in 2018, were you seeking God's approval? Now, my wife, she's gone, and I got her this stunning garnet necklace. She had lost, I got her a garnet cross years ago. She lost it. She actually found it recently. She goes, I started crying. And it was just under some stuff. But, so I was looking for garnet stuff, and I saw this. I thought, how cool is this? And so I got it like a month ago. And I'm saving it for Christmas. I got a card and all that kind of stuff. And I gave it to her. And she's like, And, we had the Christmas feast that day, Christmas morning. We do it God's way. We open Christmas gifts on Christmas morning. I don't know how many people open Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve, but anyway, minding up in the kingdom. But kingdom, Christmas morning, opened this up, went to the Christmas feast. It was a great time. And me and Joe came back. Lisa went to go visit Kathy Crippen. And here was the necklace sitting on the table, and I picked it up, and Joe goes, oh, because she didn't wear it to the Christmas feast, and she went to go visit my mom, and oh, she didn't take the necklace. And I was so excited to give this to her. Yeah. I think God is excited for us. I was looking for Lisa's approval on this, and I didn't get it. And I think so often we live our lives not looking for God's approval. And he's disappointed. Seek first in your day, in your purpose, the kingdom and God's approval. It's how we're supposed to live. How many of you guys got kids? How many of you have ever been a kid? All right, that's good. I think we got everybody. You think sometimes when your kids are working hard to bless you, maybe like cleaning their room, they get a little bit older and maybe washing your car, maybe mowing your lawn, right? And or when they're little kids, they draw you like a picture, you know? Maybe it's like a paper with just a bunch of dark blue scribbles on it. This is for you, Mommy. It's a picture of Dad, you know? And but they're so looking for your approval. And you see that, and it touches your heart, right? And what do? Let's go get ice cream. Let's go do this special thing, right? Because what? They have sought your approval, and you want to respond. And what Jesus is saying, when you line up on your Father in heaven, man, he lines up on you. He's got ice cream. He's got all kinds of stuff. And there's just this celebration. God says, let's hang out. You're going to have a kingdom year. You got to make kingdom choices. Amen? All righty. Last thing I got for you. Verse 34. Therefore, why? Because Jesus just made a promise. You seek the kingdom, and you're going to get all this stuff that you've been running after. Therefore, don't worry. Why? Because Jesus made you a promise. Can you own that promise? Can you say, I'm going to bank on that promise? Because if you can't bank on Jesus' promise for provision, you can't bank on his blood. You can't bank on the fact that he's coming back. You can't bank on the fact that he's going to prepare a place for you. Can I get a witness on that? So you want to bank on some of it? You could bank on all of it. Can I get a witness? So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble as of its own. See, Jesus would have us simplify. Pare down. Don't be so complicated. Don't be so weighed down. See, the pagans, man, they are weighted down with all the stuff that they're trying to get, and then you got to protect it, and then you got to clean it, got to keep it from rusting out, and then you got to get a storage room for it. Where's my storage locker? Where's my storage room? Got to pay my stuff. Jesus says, forget about all that stuff. Run your race focused on the kingdom of God. He says, can any one of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough to worry on today. Now, God is not saying don't worry about planning. Book of Proverbs, chapter 6 talks about the ant, man. The ant stores up for the summer. It's all good. Jesus says, man, take a look at what is going on around. You're going to see that my time of coming back is near. So he says, be concerned with what is happening. Can I get a witness on that? So we keep some attention on what's going to happen tomorrow, but we put our focus on the choices that we make today, because God is always working today. God is always at work. Right now. You're going to have a good year in 2019. We keep a focus on what God is doing now. Keep it simple. Keep it kingdom focused. And it's going to be a good year. It'll be a kingdom year. Amen? Man, you want to come up and play? Some of you come in here. And you are thinking, man, you know, 2018 was good. Some of you gave your life to the Lord in 2018. You say, man, I'll tell you what, train wreck year was 2017. Woo-hoo! I am liking 2017. I got some stuff. I'm sorry, I'm liking 2018. I got some stuff that's weighing me down. But the load I got now is a whole lot less than what I used to carry. Am I talking to anybody here? Yeah, man, it's uphill, but yeah, I'm moving and I'm climbing. Well, hallelujah. There is that one resolution. I'm going to obey God because you're moving towards the kingdom and you get your focus on Him. You're making kingdom choices. You say, look, I got some more choices for you. I got some better stuff that is coming for you. Tommy Banks been leading this prayer meeting every day. God's going, I got more stuff coming your way. Amen, Tommy? He ain't done with you yet, is he? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you're good. Hallelujah. And you just begin to grab onto it and say, I'm going to focus more on the kingdom this year. Now, for some of you, that's not you. For some of you, you're going, oh, I can't imagine doing 2018 again. My life is just a jumble. Anybody relate to that? I got so much stuff. I can't even keep it on my back. It's not like a big old rock. It's like a big old, you know, that ooze stuff. You know, ooze, you know, you kind of like try and hold it. My life is like that, man. I got all this load, and I'm trying to keep it on my back. I'm out of control. God says, man, you got kingdom values. You got kingdom treasure. You got vermin coming in, you got rats, you got moss, you got all kinds of stuff trying to chew up your stuff, and you're spending all your time just trying to protect your stuff. You got to dump your stuff. I used to have a friend named Sal, had a Fiero. He worshiped that car. I said, Sal, give your car to somebody else. Go get an old pickup. God wants me to have that car. You worship that car, dude. Dump it. Don't be a Sal. You got some stuff you need to dump right up here. We got ushers going to come up afterward. You can dump your garbage up here out of your life, and they're going to clean it up. Maybe you come in here, and your eyes are bad. Obey God. You're saying, God, I need some surgery on my eyes. I got darkness in me. I'm so messed up. I'm lost, Lord. Lost in sin, lost in worldly desires and treasures. I'm so loaded down, I don't see how I'm even going to get out the door today. And Jesus says, come unto me, you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, I'll take your yoke of the world off you, and I'll give you mine. And that yoke is for two oxen to move together, and he walks together with us. And he says, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Let's all bow our heads. You're here this morning, and God is just speaking to your heart this morning, and he says, you are filled with darkness, and I want to do surgery on you. You are living in darkness, and I want to move you into the light with nobody looking around. But God is just speaking right to your heart this morning. Says, God, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to know you. I want to be moving. I want to become a kingdom kid. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say that for me this morning. And I want to pray for you. Here I am this morning, right back here. Somebody else say, right here. Somebody else say, that's me, right here and here. Somebody will say, that's me. Lord, Lord, I want to come out of darkness into light. Anybody else? Anybody else is here this morning? Maybe you're here this morning. I see your hands. You can put them down. Lord, you're here this morning, and you got light in, and you got transformation, but your life is a jumble, and it's out of control, and you got too much world, and you got too much darkness. You're saying, Lord, I want to make some kingdom choices. I want to be transformed, be made new in my life. I don't want to be the way I am and the way I used to be, Lord. I want to be the way you would have me be.